I don't know if you know this, but we are actually in the month of November now.
Some would call it Movember.
Oh, who is it? The most people?
Yeah, or like No Shave November. Some people call it.
Well, I don't really allow people's politics to kind of dictate what I call a month. So
okay,
you know, I just call it November, and here we are, and it's another November, and November of 2015. And here's the question I have for you. Will, is November of 2015 going to be the last month that Mark Richt is employed by the University of Georgia Athletic Department?
The real question is the last full month, which it's a very real possibility. And I guess we can just jump straight into this,
sure,
into the Georgia-Florida game, which is what you're obviously referring to. Florida absolutely trounced Georgia. It was not even a game. 27-3 was the final score, but it didn't even feel like that close, especially once you got into the game a little bit. Georgia's defense played pretty well throughout, and Florida had the luck a little bit of, or really they capitalized on the mistakes that Georgia made in terms of some special teams blunders and also a pick six. But Georgia, on offense, I can't think of a, you know, maybe Vanderbilt, but I can't think of a worse offense of any of the 28 schools that we talk about.
Will, Boston College. I think Boston College and Georgia would be a really good game.
It probably would be. I mean, I think Vandy is probably pretty close to the bottom of that list. Boston College, absolutely. But Georgia without Nick Chubb, I mean, they can't do anything. I mean, it's embarrassing. And, you know, after the game, I talked to a few Georgia fans after the game, and I, you know, kind of asked them what they thought. And most of them thought, most of them said that they thought that Bauta, who was going into this game, was a third-string quarterback, that they actually thought that he played better than
Grayson Lambert.
I couldn't say his name, Grayson Lambert. But he still went 13 for 33, 154 yards, and four interceptions. And that, to a lot of Georgia fans, was better than what Lambert had been doing the rest of the season. And then you compound that 154 yards, pretty anemic, with only 69 rushing yards as a team. This is a team with five-star running backs. They're littered with top running backs, and they have 69 total rushing yards. Now, I know Florida's defense is good, but I just don't understand how your offense can be that bad at this point in the season. It's crazy. And so, to answer your question, is Georgia, you know, is this the last full month that Mark Richt is going to be employed by Georgia? At this point, I'm going to have to say yes, because if you look forward on their schedule, they have Kentucky, Auburn, Georgia Southern, and Georgia Tech. None of those games at this point are automatic. Even Kentucky having, you know, a bad week against Tennessee, Kentucky can still put some points on the board. And this is just like we talk about if you're playing Boston College. If you play Boston College and you can score some points, if you have any sort of offense whatsoever, you're going to beat Boston College because they can't score anything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And even Boston College this week, Andrew, put 10 points up against Virginia Tech. And Virginia Tech, I would argue, has probably just as good of a defense, you know, or in the same caliber of defense that Florida has.
Well, it was funny. When Florida got their first 6 points on the special
on the
teams.
Punt.
Yeah, the special teams, yeah. Miscue. I said at that point, well, I think the game is over.
Yeah, pretty much. Because at that point, I mean, if you were watching it, you knew that Georgia couldn't move the ball.
Yeah.
And if you can't move the ball against Florida, yes, Florida's, they're a good team. I mean, their only loss is to an undefeated LSU team. They did it with, you know, their backup quarterback, and they only lost by one score. you know, that, you know, a lot of people are calling that a good loss, and you're ignoring that loss in, you know, in the schedule and whatnot. Florida's a good team. They've done a lot of good things, but there is no reason that Georgia should have looked that bad
right.
in that game.
Coming into this season, nobody picked Florida to be that much better than Georgia.
No. I mean, I think, you know, people pick Georgia to win the East mainly because there's no one else in the East that was saying, like, hey, we're going to be good. And up to this point in the season, that's been so. Missouri's bad. Vandy's bad. Tennessee has struggled in the fourth quarter against a number of teams. South Carolina is not good. There's a lot of, you know, Kentucky is still Kentucky. All of these teams have not really done much. Florida has stepped up to the plate, and they've done really, really well with their first-year coach.
Right.
They are leaving Georgia in the dust. Mm-hmm. And I think at this point, even though Mark Richt has been there forever, I think Georgia fans are starting to learn that we are not going to win a championship under this coach. And at Georgia, you don't just want one, you expect one eventually with the resources, the facilities, and the recruiting that you get every single year. You're always in the top 10 every single year. And frankly, no one does less with more than Mark Richt. He always underperforms.
I'm going to throw a wrench into your philosophy here and say that I do not believe you can fire Mark Richt for one reason.
Okay.
The one reason, incoming freshman quarterback Jacob Eason.
I mean, and that is a very, very valid point, because at this point there is not a single quarterback in the system that you can trust. The three of those guys that are there, there's nothing there. Bryce Ramsey, if he was the guy, he'd be starting. Bauta, he's been in the system for 4 years. This was his first start. He threw four interceptions. Lambert kicked off the first team from a bad Virginia team. And now you're resting all your hopes on this true freshman coming in next year. And you're right. If Mark Richt leaves, will this recruit leave with him?
Sure, absolutely. Absolutely gone. I think that where it's going to come down to is this. If you are Georgia, you cannot lose to your in-state rival. If you are Georgia Tech, you cannot lose to your in-state rival that is playing this way. If Georgia loses that game, Mark Richt is fired. And if Mark Richt gets fired at the end of the season, as a Georgia Tech fan, you are going to shoot yourself if you are not able to beat a team on the year that their coach is fired. They're that.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
You also have to think about this. Georgia Southern is playing pretty good football.
Right.
And they have an offense. They can score points. I'm not going to sit here and say their defense is going to be anywhere up to snuff, you know, to Florida or anybody else. But they can score points. And they're hungry. And you know they want to win this game.
Mm-hmm.
You know they want to win.
Right.
If Georgia loses to Georgia Southern, and then the following week you lose to Georgia Tech, you are the third best team in the state, and that is unacceptable.
Uh-huh.
And that is absolutely unacceptable.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, here's the thing. I think that it's not too late for Mark Richt to save his job this season. But I think if you lose to either Georgia Southern or Georgia Tech, I think he's gone. I think if you lose to both Kentucky and Auburn and then beat Georgia Southern, Georgia Tech, I still think he's gone.
Hmm.
I mean, he's going to have to basically win out, I think, to keep his job. And I just don't see the weapons there for that. And now here's the other side of that. If Mark Richt gets fired, would that be the best thing for him? Because he's going to get a huge buyout and then just go south about 7 or 8 hours, 10 hours maybe, and take the Miami job.
Right. I would say he's not going to get fired. He's just going to realize the writing is on the wall and take another job. But Will, to change it a little bit, let's talk about another group of people who might should be fired right now. Those are the referees in the Miami and Duke game this past Saturday.
Yeah, I watched that game live, and as I was watching that return, you know, the first thing that came to mind, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is 3 weeks in a row that a game has ended on a crazy special teams play like this. Mm-hmm. But it was strange because even after he crossed the goal line, I felt like an emptiness inside me, and I couldn't figure out why. And the reason was is because I'm like, something's not right about this play. Like, I couldn't believe that no flag was thrown or that, like, something didn't happen for the play to end. I couldn't believe it. I mean, if you haven't seen it, it's pretty incredible. 8 laterals. They move the ball all over the field on the kickoff return, and they take it to the house for a touchdown with no time left, and Miami beats Duke. Here's the thing. Those officials were wrong on several occasions.
Right.
And if
right.
I mean, if you're listening to the show, you probably already know. There was a knee down that should have ended the game. There were several block in the backs, including a very egregious block in the back, like way back at the Miami's own 16-yard line that should have definitely been called. Unbelievable that that flag was not thrown. They took 9 minutes to review the play, and they still got it wrong, giving Miami the touchdown and the win over Duke, 30-27. Here's the thing. The officials were suspended for 2 games, as well as the replay officials were suspended for 2 games. That does nothing for me. Mm. That does absolutely nothing for me. If you're John Swofford, and he came out with a statement, the ACC came out with a statement and said, you know, something along the lines of, you know, we want to have the quality officiating, you know, all that kind of bullcrap. Here's the thing. You have in your power to get this right. You can rewrite the rules. You're the ACC commissioner. Make this right. Duke is playing for the coast. Like, Duke has had one loss in their schedule. They were ranked number 22 going into this game. Duke has a lot to play for. Duke can get into a Big Six game. They can get into the ACC championship game. This isn't like Wake Forest and Boston College playing. This is a game that for Duke really, really matters. And now you're just throwing them under the bus for no good reason. Everybody knows that this play shouldn't stand. Fix it. Fix it. At the very least, like, even if you don't say Duke wins, expunge the loss from the loss column. Make it a draw. Make it a no game. But there is no reason whatsoever that Miami should have won this game. None whatsoever. I mean, this makes me mad. Just look, and then the ACC gives the ACC Special Teams Player of the Week to the Miami player who crossed the goal line at the end. On a fraudulent play. It's unbelievable. I mean, I don't know if they're – I mean, they're saying that the play is going to stand, but I still think that they're – I mean, you got a couple of days to make this decision. ACC, John Swofford, I know you're listening. Get the call right. Duke should have won this game.
Well,
there's no reason why Duke should have won this game.
Here's my problem. You shouldn't be in this position anyway. How do you not have officials? That's why you have replay. Why do you even have replay? Why do you even have it?
I mean, it's obvious. It's obvious that his knee was down. I mean, that's all you're looking for in that replay is that there's one instance in that whole thing. I mean, I know you're looking to see if there's a forward lateral or something like that. But on replay, all you really are looking for is, like, all the time, foot out of bounds, knee down, that kind of stuff. That's what you look for. And there is a blatant moment in that play where his hand, he's still holding the ball and his knee is on the ground. And I don't get it, Andrew. I really just don't get it.
Maybe they don't have the same view that we do of the play. Maybe they don't have the same video.
Nope. They have the same video that everybody else had.
Well,
and you could see it from multiple angles.
Yeah.
It wasn't just the one angle. You could see it from multiple angles. So, I mean, this is bad. This is one of the worst officiating calls ever. But I think even worse is that the ACC knows that it was wrong, and they're still not going to fix it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, do you think that David Cutcliffe and Duke is happy that those officials were suspended?
No. Doesn't matter to them.
Heal the wound?
Doesn't matter to them.
Because if they have another ACC loss, they're done. They can't go to the ACC championship game. I think that because there's two other teams with one loss. One other team with one loss, and then UNC has no losses. You could conceivably, like, this game could conceivably keep them out of the ACC championship game, which would be an absolute shame. If the end of the season it comes down to that, oh my gosh. Duke should have an axe to grind.
Yeah.
Big time.
Yeah, I agree. Well, we've had some...
And just as an aside, real quick, because I know we're in a hurry here, but I think it is funny, though, that Al Golden is, you know, he's there for however many years, 4 or 5 seasons, never beat a ranked team, Andrew.
Yeah. Gone
first
1 week.
First game and he's gone.
Yeah.
1 week and Miami beats a ranked team. I just think that's really funny to me. Even though it's a fraudulent win, it is funny that Miami got that ranked win the week after they fired Golden.
Yeah, the dominoes never seem to fall for Al and his tie, but for whatever reason, on Halloween, it's a spooky time, Will.
Absolutely.
And things just happen. Things just happen. And I think there were some ghosts of previous Hurricane teams that kind of helped on that play, maybe blinded the officials. Here's my thing. I want to know if those officials were actually ghosts. They really
they
might have
been. It was Halloween. Halloween, full moon.
Yeah. I think we need to call Ray Stantz, Peter Venkman, and see if we can get them on the case, because I think that those officials were actually, unfortunately, ghosts. So there you go. That's why we had that problem. And, Will, maybe we need to talk about another ghost. Someone who has been around for a long time, but no longer. We just heard Frank Beamer is going to be retiring at the end of the season.
Yeah, you know, he's still there, so he's not quite a ghost. He's a ghost in waiting.
Mm.
But here's the thing. Frank Beamer has been at Virginia Tech for more than 25 years. He built that program up from really nothing.
Yeah.
But he has been a really good coach, and he's done a lot of things for their program except bring them a national title, which, you know, they've removed the empty
right.
Trophy case. I don't know if you know that or not. But here's the thing. When Beamer is gone, I can only imagine that Bud Foster is gone too.
I don't think that he's going to be offered the job, and here's why. If you were planning on offering the job to Bud Foster, you would have already done it. It would have been said.
You would have already announced it.
Yeah.
It would have been a joint announcement. Yeah. It would have been like, I'm retiring, and Bud Foster's taking over.
Right. You didn't say it, so he's out. I hate to say it, but
he's out. He's either going to take another head coaching job, or he's going to become a defensive coordinator in the SEC somewhere, because the whole reason he was there was because of his relationship with Frank Beamer.
Right.
And now that Frank Beamer's gone, my guess is he's going to be gone too. And also, if he doesn't become the head coach, you know, whoever the head coach is going to be may not want Bud Foster there.
Right.
It's very rare that a DC will stay on through a head coaching change. So here's my question. Does Virginia Tech fall into obscurity after Frank Beamer leaves?
Well, what I think they probably will do is hire Michael Vick as their head coach.
Oh, gosh, too soon.
Well, no, seriously, I don't think so. I think that you're going to probably find a really up-and-coming assistant to take the Virginia Tech job. You're right. I don't think that a proven head coach, I don't think you're going to see Mark Richt go up to Virginia Tech.
Not with all of the other vacancies.
Right, there's too many jobs
all over the place.
I think somebody, you know, the kind of person who usually gets thrown in is a Kirby Smart or someone like that. I think that's what's going to happen. To get a up-and-coming, probably defensive coordinator. That's how they roll up there. And it's really going to matter for Virginia Tech more than most schools who they hire now. They very easily, if you make the wrong hire, you do fall into obscurity. And I don't know that 5 years from now that Virginia Tech job is going to be as good of a job as it is now because of what Frank Beamer has done to keep it up there. There's a lot of good recruiting in Virginia. So I think you need to hire somebody who can recruit and somebody with a defensive mind. I think that's what's going to happen. Somebody like that, you know, honestly, you might even see somebody like a Lane Kiffin, even though he's not a defensive guy, but somebody who's had success. again, I say this, I've said it before, Ed Orgeron, I threw his name out there with Miami. I think Ed Orgeron would be a good hire up there. He's a great recruiter. I think that you could have the potential to make a great hire here. There are going to be some people who want that job. I'm going to tell you something, Will. The Virginia Tech job is a better job than the Miami job.
Oh, it is absolutely a better job than the Miami job. Absolutely. The program, I mean, you have an on-campus stadium. You have a fan base that cares.
Right.
And, I mean, you may not – the boosters, you know, you may not get paid as much, and you're not going to be living in South Beach. But it's going to be – as far as football goes, it's going to be a much better place to be.
Right. You could be successful there. They will set you up to be successful. Right.
Absolutely. Now, but I don't know, you know, a lot of times the dollar is what speaks, though. And I think that, you know, maybe the better coaches would rather go to Miami, but I don't know.
Well, Will, my question is, will Virginia Tech be the only coaching vacancy in the state of Virginia?
You know, that's a really good question, because at the beginning of the season, I would say that it would have been a lock that Mike London would have been let go. But, you know, Virginia's actually starting to play a little bit better. And they had a good game against Georgia Tech last week. Georgia Tech should have won that game. Don't get me wrong. They should have won that game. But, I mean, granted, they're still 3-6 or whatever they are. But I don't know. I feel like they've played better than I thought they were going to this season. And they have the makings of maybe getting a little bit better in the coming years with all those good recruits that they have.
You really believe that, Will?
I mean, I don't know.
Virginia, they were destroyed by Boise. I really think...
They had a tough schedule. UCLA, Notre Dame, Boise. Yes, they lost all of those. Pitt is a good team. UNC is a good team. That's the one we haven't talked about yet. UNC beat Pittsburgh. That's a surprising... big time game for the Coastal that UNC won. I mean, they've had some really tough games. Just like Georgia Tech, there's no game on there that they've lost that you say, ooh, that's a bad loss. Like, every loss on there, like, yeah, they lost the games, but I mean, they've had a tough schedule. Now, you finish the season with Miami, Louisville, Duke, and Virginia Tech. I think they can win a few of those games. I think they can win two or three of those games.
Well,
I don't think you're going to beat Duke, and you might not beat Virginia Tech, but I think you can beat Miami and Louisville.
If you finish 5-7 like you finished last year, there's no progress. You fire Mike London. He's gone. Period. I don't see any way that he's going to be back next year if that happens. If he finishes 3-1, if he beats Miami, Louisville, and Virginia Tech, then yeah, he could come back. If he beats Virginia Tech, he probably comes back. If he doesn't, he's
fired.
So
you think that they need to make a bowl for him to stay?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You were 5-7 last year. You don't keep your job by going 5-7 every year.
That's true.
And honestly, I really hate to say this, Will, but beating Georgia Tech is not a quality win.
No, not this year.
So
And that is another one of those games, Andrew, that Georgia Tech, I mean, it's happened over and over and over this season where Georgia Tech has a chance to win it late in the fourth quarter and they can't do it. I mean, you go, like, when they drove, they ended up, at one point they were in their own 1 yard line on that next to the last drive, and all of a sudden it clicked and they threw all the way down the field in chunks and scored the touchdown to go down by 6. Then you get the onside kick, a perfect onside kick. And at that point, I was like, there's like 2 minutes left in the game. They got it. And then a couple of drop passes, and then the game's over. I mean, it was just, how many times have you seen it happen this year? I mean, you've seen it happen about 4 or 5 times this year where the Jackets had a chance late in the fourth quarter and then just blew it. I mean, we're so close to being a two-loss team. It's crazy how close. I mean, they're sitting at 3-6 right now. They've got to win out to make a bowl, but they could so very easily be 7-2 right now.
Well,
I mean, it's crazy how weird this season has been for the Jackets.
You know, I don't want to rain on the parade, but players make plays, Will, and nobody can step up and make a play. And here's the problem. You say, yes, the games were close, but in each game, Georgia Tech manages to find themselves in a hole, getting themselves in a hole and then having to come back. And that's just not a recipe for success. I don't care who it is. If you're constantly getting behind, there's no way that you can be every week getting behind and then having to play catch-up at the end of the game. I don't care if you throw it for 400 yards every game. And this particular game, Georgia Tech ran for, I think, 150 yards. It's been repeatedly where Georgia Tech cannot effectively run the ball. And then when they do find a way to run the ball, they make mistakes and they fumble or they throw a pick. I mean, there are too many turnovers. It's just a problem with the offensive line and being unable to run the ball. There were one play was for 50 yards. You take that one play out, there was no other play of more than 10 yards, I don't think, running the ball. So
No, you're right. You're right.
You got to find a way to run the ball, and that's your just, bread and butter.
It's a product of, like you said, the offensive line just not stepping up to the plate, and then all those young running backs. I mean, you look at the guys that were taking the load for the running backs. You have Clinton Lynch, redshirt freshman, Isaiah Willis, I believe he's a sophomore, redshirt sophomore, but this is his first year really playing. Marcus Marshall, true freshman. McKellen's Davis, true freshman. Those were the guys running the ball besides Justin Thomas and then a couple of rushes by Scove, who's still fighting injury. All of those guys are underclassmen. And, hopefully they'll grow up and next year they'll be better, but you don't have any sort of senior leadership whatsoever in the running back positions that, you know, are allowing you to capitalize on a defense. And then on the other side of the ball, you lose your best player on the very first play of the game. Adam Gostis hurt his leg, very, very first play of the game. That kills you, because even though the defense played pretty well in spots, they still did not have a pass rush, and Matt Johns was able to pass effectively when he needed to, and that led to Virginia scoring just enough points to win the game.
Yeah, and I agree. And Will, the thing that we've seen every week, it's not changed. I think a lot of people felt like Georgia Tech could turn the corner, but it just doesn't seem like that's the case. And here's the crazy thing, Will. The last three games, you've got a coach who's retiring, a coach who's already been fired, and then a coach who might be on his way out. You need to win a couple of those. Really, I think Virginia Tech might be the hardest in those three games. We'll see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I think so too.
You got to win a couple of those. Georgia's offense is not very good. I know that against Tech, they'll put some points up. I'm not concerned about that. But you got an off week here. You need to figure out something on offense. You really need to find something you can do on offense. Try and win a couple of these games and have some positivity going into the off season. It's going
to
be tough.
If you can get to 6-6, I mean, you just be like, well, we kept the bowl streak alive and we move on to next year. But it is no easy road getting to 6-6, because we got three teams that historically we have not played very well against. And it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. Now, granted, all three of these teams are having down years. So are the Jackets. So, I mean, I think it's a toss-up in all three of those games. You're right. I think the off week is going to help. You got to get guys healthy. Hopefully, Gostis comes back. Devine was out on offensive line. He's actually turned into one of our better offensive linemen. It really stunk not having him. I mean, you gotta get more healthy. Hopefully get some of those defensive guys back as well that were out. But we'll see what happens and hopefully they get it together. Andrew, I know that we're going to cut it close.
Yep.
Cut it off pretty soon here. Just one other notable games. Florida State beats up on Syracuse with a backup running back and a backup quarterback. I think they trying to get that bad taste out of their mouth from the Georgia Tech game.
Yes.
Clemson scored a whole bunch of points again against NC State. But NC State put up a fight. They scored 41. Lots of scoring in that game. Big game next week against Clemson and Florida State. It's likely going to decide the Atlantic Division. In the SEC, we had a blowout. Houston blows out Vanderbilt 34-0. No surprise there. Actually, a really good game between Ole Miss and Auburn. Ole Miss, they squeaked it out. 27-19 was the final score. Really good game. Also a good game, Texas A&M and South Carolina. Texas A&M wins not in a blowout like a lot of people thought it would be early in the season. Texas A&M not playing up to their expectations, but still win 35-28. Arkansas took care of business. Tennessee won big. And, of course, we've already talked about Georgia, Florida.
Right.
But that does it for the – I believe we talked about – and Louisville and Wake Forest, that was a close game. 2019 was that one.
I think, Will, that is a podcast. And I'm Andrew Brown, and you are?
Will Patton. This is Fourth and Short Podcast. Email us, Facebook, whatever. Yeah. Thanks for listening. Bye.